praising angels in the high. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, for he has spoken. Worlds his mighty voice obey. Laws which never shall be broken. For their guidance he had made. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God that made us is victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord of our salvation. Host on high his power proclaim. Heaven, earth, and earth, and all creation. Lord, magnify his name. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
Good morning and welcome to the Word of Life. I'm glad that you've chosen to join us this morning, glad for a specific reason. It means that you're taking the time out of a very busy schedule to spend a little bit of time with us. It's always appreciated. I always try to deliver what I promise in that matter so that you are well paid for the time that you choose to get in here and join us. We have new listeners again. I want to thank those listeners for becoming regulars. I want to thank you for being consistent listeners. And some of you that have accidentally tuned across the station here, perhaps listening to the program before or looking for the one after, I'm glad that you're with us. My name is Bruce Potter. I've been on the Word of Life for quite some time. We've been in a study of glimpses of Christ, walking through the Gospels. We've come down to the not end of the road, but near the end, with the resurrection of Jesus. This last Lord's Day, we were in Luke chapter 24, talking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We're going to be finishing up that study today and going on into some other of the appearances after the resurrection. I want to reinforce something that we've said in the past a couple of times and make sure that this is clear before your eyes. It is not the empty tomb that makes Jesus to be resurrected. There were many empty tombs in the days of Jesus. Some had never been occupied. Some had been occupied, but perhaps the bones removed and things like this. And we're not talking about just an empty tomb. It is the appearances of Jesus that make this to be a different thing. And what you and I have found out is that indeed there were appearances of Jesus. There was the appearance of Jesus to the women, to Peter and John as they, not to Peter and John, but to the women. Peter and John came to the tomb after the women, saw only the empty tomb, said they believed and walked away. Various things going on like this throughout the first day. We have come down to a point to where probably in the afternoon of the first day, two disciples leave Jerusalem and walk towards the town of Emmaus. As they are on their journey there last Lord's Day, we saw that Jesus joined them. Now, they were prevented from recognizing him. We discussed then that whether it's the fact that you don't anticipate that a person that's dead would be alive and walking with you, or whether heaven prevented them from recognizing Jesus, we don't know. We know that Jesus still bore the marks of Calvary. There were wounds on him from events that were taking place after this that we're going to look at in the near future in our studies. For instance, the event with Thomas, where Jesus says, "Behold my hands and my feet, my side." Now, we know that Jesus wasn't lying. We know the picture in the book of Revelation is Jesus standing before the throne, the Lamb standing as if slain, that is, bearing the marks of death. So, you know, there are things that occur in these events that we may not be able to explain all the way. But it is, nevertheless, the appearance of Jesus to these various people that we are looking at that tell us that Jesus is resurrected. Not just the empty tomb, but a cumulative evidence of the tomb being empty, the appearances being made, the ascension that will take place a little later in our studies, we'll see. All of these things add up together to tell us that, as Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and following, death could not hold him. God has raised him up. That is the point about Jesus. When we consider this particular story here in Luke chapter 24, we have talked about some of the aspects of it already. I want to quickly review those aspects and step into the text where we left off last Lord's Day. If you remember, we see in verse 13 that these two were going about 6 or 7 miles out of Jerusalem to a little town called Emmaus. They were talking with each other about all the events that had been taking place. Jesus joined them in verse 15 of, during the conversation they were having, their eyes prevented from recognizing him in verse 16. Verse 17, Jesus asked them a question. What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And remember, we talked about how as they heard that question, they stood still looking sad at the end of verse 17. We talked about trying to unpack some of what happened right there. And you can almost imagine yourself, I'm sure, what it would be like if you were in the middle of a conversation about something that had touched you very, very deeply. And somebody asks, "Well, what are you talking about?" And you just kind of, you give a sigh and you stand there and you are in wonder at the events that have taken place, the whole specter of the event probably going before your eyes. And you're wondering about the person that asked you this question. Because that's exactly what happens here. Look in verse 18. The statement is made by Cleopas, one of the disciples that was walking. "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" See, what they're talking about is the fact that how, in essence, could you be in Jerusalem and not know that these events were taking place? Now, what that speaks to, think about it, is not just a believer's perspective, but simply the perspective of anyone that would be in Jerusalem. This was a stirring event. In other words, it was something that, whether you believed in Jesus or not, you were aware of what was going on. It was an earth-shaking event in that sense. These disciples could not understand how someone could have been to Jerusalem and not know, and yet they were talking to Jesus. They didn't realize it. It's always struck me as rather ironic that Jesus would ask them about this and hear what they had to say. And then the first of the response is, looking at this Jesus that they didn't recognize, "Are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on?" Well, he was the center point of what was going on, but they didn't realize that. We look here in verse 19, and we see that Jesus responds to them, drawing out the conversation. What things? What is it that you're talking about, Jesus would say. Now, Jesus didn't say he didn't know, but he said, "What things?" And the answer given by them, and notice in verse 19, it is they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in sight of God and all the people, how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. Now, that's what had happened already. And as we consider that and look at the words that were spoken here, we see several things that are very interesting. Jesus is again identified, as he has many times in the Gospels, with the town of Nazareth. Nazarene, Jesus the Nazarene. The fact that he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. is something that speaks to the events of his life. What had they seen? What were they aware of? What had others seen? What were they aware of? The statement is made at the end of verse 19 that this standing that Jesus has as a prophet, mighty in deed and word, is not only in the sight of people, but it's in the sight of God, is what they say. And that just, again, simply points to the impact that these events were having on their life. Now, the statement that they make continues here in verse 20 with these words, how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. Now, again, this is the events of the past days. This is the things that they had seen, the things that they were well aware of. It was the leadership of the Jewish people that orchestrated this, but at least they thought, but it was by the hand of God. You understand that, don't you? The statement of the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 10 should help, as we read there that about verse 9 and 10, that by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus, by this will. You see, it is by the will of God that the events took place. Now, there's no doubt that in verse 20, what's referenced is the fact that the chief priest and the rulers took Jesus and delivered him to Pilate. And, you know, the various things involved there and the fact that this was a prophetical event, you know, it's something that had been prophesied. You know, it's still the choice of man. What prophecy had done was tell what choices people would make, and the choices people would make would be to deliver Jesus to the Romans. And you remember the trials with Pilate, how there was the first trial with Pilate in the early morning, then he heard that Jesus was of Galilee, sent him to Herod, Herod sent him back. And that's where, as recorded in the Gospel of John, Pilate presents the beaten and bloodied Jesus to the crowd with the words, "Behold the man. Look at him. Look at what you've done." The chief priests and rulers delivered him to the sentence of death. They crucified him. We were hoping, verse 21 says, and we've talked about that phrase, we were hoping. What that means is it is a past event. It is something that had occurred. That is, their hope was a past event at this point. They did not expect anything more. And I want you to clearly understand that. Again, we have talked about that several times, how there was no anticipation of the resurrection, either among the disciples, the women, the others who were following Jesus. There was just not an expectation that Jesus would rise from the dead. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. And also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, did not find his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. You know, again, as we stop there, what we see is the events continuing. You know, they're, imagine the confusion of their minds. Now, not shock, that's not the right word, but the confusion that was reigning in their minds. Here they were, having witnessed what happened to Jesus, apparently. And as they had witnessed this, they knew the finality of death. But yet, this day, the third day, the Sunday, it is clear in their minds that at least some of the women thought that they saw this. Now, I say thought because you can hear in the words of these that are speaking that they don't understand. They still don't know that Jesus was resurrected. In fact, later in the chapter, we find out that they are surprised when they realize indeed that this is Jesus. And these women at the tomb came saying there was angels. There were angels there at the tomb, a vision of angels. And they said he was alive. Verse 24 reports what we have already studied. And we have looked at this, these events in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. Now see, again, we're talking about what happened that we have touched on. You remember Peter and John ran to the tomb, some of those among us. Peter and John ran to the tomb. John got there first, the Gospel records, Gospel of John. And he looked in the door, but Peter got there and stooped down and went inside and, remember, found the linen wrapping for his face lying by itself and the rest of the grave clothes there where the body had been taken away. It's an amazing event, isn't it? An amazing event that what had happened was not grasped, even if Jesus had predicted it. Jesus had talked about this. He had talked about it as early as John chapter 2 and the ministry that he had at the first Passover during his ministry, perhaps 5 or 6 months into the time that he was preaching and some of the disciples at least were following. He had talked about it since then, but they still didn't understand. And not much has changed today. 2 millennia have passed and people still don't understand what Jesus was saying would happen. In a few moments, we'll continue our study. Right now, let's break and listen to a song.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. The way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. List to the call, the gospel call today. Get in the glory land way. Wonders come home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way.
Sing it again.
I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way.
This is the point at which Jesus begins to talk directly to these people. Now, he has talked to Cleopas and Cleopas' friend, the two disciples, and he has brought out from them the things that had happened and some of the statements about the events. Now, Jesus addresses them, and you can see it in verse 25. He calls them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" What a mouthful, huh? What a mouthful. To consider all the things that the prophets said, to consider the meaning of all those things that the prophets had said. Now, he didn't call them ridiculously ignorant or anything like that. He says, foolish men and slow of heart to believe. And we would ask, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, many times it's not that the scripture is not clear. It's that the heart is not willing, or the heart has no perception, maybe, of what the scripture is talking about. The struggle that we have with scripture is not that God is not able to communicate, but it's that we are not able to receive quite often all the signals from God and the statements from God and the universe could not be understood if we chose not to understand them. And these men, I don't think, were choosing not to understand. I think they were in a spot of a very, very challenging question. How could Jesus be who he claimed to be, that is, Son of God and Savior and Messiah? How could he be Son of Man if he's dead? And so the women come and tell this story. They get confused, not the women, the men, but there is great confusion reigning in their hearts and minds, and Jesus addresses them this way. The question that he asks in verse 26 is what leads into what takes place. And if you remember, I talked to you about, in a couple of Lord's days ago, about the fact that if I had one wish, it would be that I could hear Jesus preach. Well, this is the sermon I would like to hear, where verse 27 says, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scripture. How would you like to be able to listen to Jesus, talk about Jesus from the word that the Holy Spirit had written? You know, the truth of the matter is that what we have here is a glimpse that something happened that would really be nice to possess. Now, the rest of the New Testament gives great light on how Jesus fits into the plan of God, what was accomplished, and various things like this. I don't doubt that. But would it not have been wonderful to have for our eyes to read, our ears to hear, the very statements of Jesus explaining Isaiah 53, explaining Psalm 22? Yet this is left to us. Now, these men would listen to Jesus, and they would hear what he had to say with a peculiar reaction. A little later on, as we read through the text, we're going to find out that they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us," as he explained the scripture. In other words, they knew that this was not just the normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill stranger that had come, but they did not know who it was, did not know what was going on at that point. Listen to the statements as the event continues, beginning in verse 28. "They approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. They urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?'" Now let's stop right there and consider what we see. Sometimes it is in the most familiar of all actions that we have great recognition. You know, we expect certain things out of certain people. This is what they do all the time. Well, it is simply in the breaking of bread and the blessing that was offered that, as verse 31 says, that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Not unexpected, right? This is not a big surprise. The events of verse 28 and 29 are very simple and straightforward. They came to the place where they were going. Jesus continued to walk, and they said, "Well, come and stay with us. It's nearly the end of the day. You don't need to try to travel on." So he did. And that sets up the event in the evening, just like evening meals had been with Jesus before the breaking of bread. We see there in verse 30 that he reclined with them. That was the way that meals were eaten, leaning back, relaxing. Took the bread, blessed it, breaking it, began giving it to them. And that's when they recognized him. As we said, the most familiar things breed identity, right? So as we look here, what we see is that as they began to recognize who he was, he vanished from their sight. Now, they didn't act surprised that he vanished. You know that? Notice that? The event as it unfolded here was not itself a surprise. The identity of the one involved in the event, that was the surprise. And so these were overwhelmed with the moment. Verse 32 tells us that they began to speak to one another about their hearts burning within us as he was speaking to us while he was explaining or revealing the scripture. Opening up the scripture to their mind is literally what's said. Again, can you imagine what it would be like to have Jesus as the teacher like that? We look at the events then that took place in verse 33 through 35 to set up what will be the first general recognition of the resurrection of Jesus by the apostles. Listen to the statement. They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They just spent the day traveling out to Emmaus, and now they turn around and go right back. It takes a little while. They return to Jerusalem. They find gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They begin to relate their experiences on the road, how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Now, verse 34 is very interesting because the statement is not just that the Lord has risen, but the Lord has really risen. Now, there is a reason for that. The women had came and told them that the angels said that Jesus was alive. The disciples, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, dismissed their statement. Put it aside. Mark talks about how when Jesus did appear to them, that he upbraided them for their unbelief, that they didn't believe those who had seen. Now, again, that's what verse 34 is talking about. The Lord really has risen. What the women said was true. What anybody else that had seen him said was true. This is an event taking place. And you and I have some journey to do on this, but right now, let's listen to another song.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journeys through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, let me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee.
There is no doubt that the events of that day were shaking the minds and souls of the people that were involved. This was the day of the resurrection of Jesus. Nobody realized the truth of the resurrection. Perhaps the women kept insisting, and I don't know if they were ridiculed for that or not. Perhaps people just kind of pitied them, thinking these poor ladies, they don't know what they're talking about. But it's interesting that now the base of sight, the basis of sight in the event of the resurrection is beginning to broaden out. You have the women, you have these two disciples now. And the two disciples come and testify to those that are gathered about the event that took place. And verse 35 tells us that that's what they did. And then the statement of verse 34. So what occurs? And as we look here, it's very easy to see. Read with me from verse 36 down to verse 43. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it before them. Now, I want to put you in a position here to think for the week, because we're going to begin right here with this text next Lord's Day. Why in the world did Jesus ask for the fish? Why did he take that fish to eat? We'll be dealing with that next week on the Word of Life, and starting with this passage from verse 36 and following. It had been quite a day for these who were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. It's not easy being an eyewitness, but they would accomplish the task. You join us next week. We'll continue.